If you would mark these passages, because all three or four of these passages that I'm going to read promise you, are very encouraging passages and very uplifting passages. They are passages that when you go through difficult times that you can turn to, and I promise you it will be a help. John chapter number 16, and then verse number 33. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now I want you to hold your finger there, because we will come back to that passage. And now I want you to turn to Romans chapter number 8, please. Romans chapter number 8. And this is one that all of us have turned to probably many, many times in our life, and when we're going through trials and difficulties. These are some of the most encouraging passages in all of the Bible. But let's start with Romans chapter 8 and then verse number 28. The Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us," if you're there, say these next words with me, "who can be against us?" Boy, we could just stop there and just have an altar call and go home tonight and know that we've left with something good, can't we? But he goes on. "He that spareth not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." I want you to read this verse with me. Verse number 37. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You ever thought about how you can be more than a conqueror? A conqueror is one that wins. A conqueror is one that comes out ahead. But he says in this text, we're going to be more than conquerors. Well, that's good, isn't it? Amen? Amen. I'll get excited for you if you want, okay? Because I'm telling you, there is nothing more encouraging than the Word of God. I can tell you something, Brother Chris can tell you something, and it might be right and it may not. But I'm telling you, when you write it and read it in the Word of God, boy, you know, because God's got the authority and the power to carry it out. He goes on and he says this, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now I want you to go with me to 1 John chapter number 4, please. 1 John, that's pretty much at the very back of the New Testament. 1 John chapter number 4, and we'll just read one verse there. 4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Boy, that's good stuff right there. Greater is he. Who's he talking about? Christ, the Spirit of God. "Greater is he that is in you than he," the old devil, "spiritual wickedness in high places. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world." Now I want you to go back to our text tonight. Continue to hold your finger in John chapter 16, verse number 33. But our text tonight is in Genesis chapter number 49. Genesis chapter number 49. Wished I had time tonight to read this entire chapter. It's one of the most important chapters in all of the Bible. Because in this chapter, Jacob is going to call his sons in, his 12 sons. He is going to prophesy what they are going to be in their life, their character, what their tribes are going to be. And we know that all through the Old Testament, this passage is being fulfilled in the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. But as he calls each one of his sons to his side, he gives them a prophecy. And I want to just read one verse and one prophecy tonight, and that is in verse number 19, and that is of his son by the name of Gad. And here's what Jacob says, "Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last." Let's read it one more time. Read it with me. "Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at last." There's a quote that I came across this week that I thought really was neat, and it's this: "The difference between stumbling blocks and stepping stones is how you use them." Matter of fact, I think I have that screen up there, Brother Roy, if you'd put that up there. And it just says this: "The difference between stumbling blocks and stepping stones is how you use them." This morning I shared with you a quick story about a guy, a preacher. His name is Tony Evans. I know that some of you may know him, may listen to him. But I was listening to a message that he was preaching, and he started out the message this way, and he said this. He said, "One of my granddaughters, for whatever reason, all of a sudden just quit eating." He said she went for 4 days and would not eat. Her parents tried everything. They tried to bribe her. They tried to threaten her. They wanted to know, "What in the world? Why are you not willing to eat?" Finally, she came to them and she said, "The reason that I am not eating is because our family is falling apart. I don't know what in the world is going on with our family." Tony Evans, in the last 17 months, I told you, has lost a brother. He lost a sister. He lost a brother-in-law. He lost a niece. In November of last year, his father died. And in December, his wife of, I believe, almost 50 years lost a battle to cancer, and she succumbed and died at the last part of December, the first part of January. A couple of months later, his daughter by the name of Phyllis Schlesler, many of you know who she is. She speaks all over the country. She's been in a lot of the movies that they put out from Georgia, Prayer Warrior, or she was in that movie, and The Overcomers, I think she was in that movie. But that is the daughter of Tony Evans, and she was diagnosed with cancer in one of her lungs, and they had to go in and take out half of her lung. It was just a few days later that her sister, Tony Evans' other daughter, they found a mass in her body, and they really don't know exactly what it is, and so they really don't know what direction to go with that. And so that is how come this granddaughter said, "You know what, all these many years, you know, we've got a family that serves the Lord and lives for the Lord, and all of a sudden we have all of this tragedy, we have all of this heartache, we have all of this trouble into our lives, and it caused such extreme stress that she quit eating for 4 days." I've never gone through the loss of many loved ones at once, but I'm like you. I've gone through trials in my life. I've gone through difficulties in my life. I went through a period of 30 days where I ate two meals because of the situations that was going on in my life. I lost 30 pounds in 2 weeks because I could not eat. You say, I may have not never been to that position, but I guarantee you one thing. If you live life long enough, you're going to go through some difficulties in your life. But one of the things that I love about the Bible is that the Bible doesn't paint this rosy picture and hide the difficulties and the trials from us. Matter of fact, when you read John chapter number 16, as we read, Jesus says this. He says, "Ye shall have persecution." That word persecution means defeat. It means trials. It means difficulties. Jesus is not saying you might, but Jesus is saying, hey, if you live life long enough, you are going to go through something that is difficult in your life. Acts chapter 14 and verse number 22. You don't have to turn there, but it's a very sobering verse. The Bible says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Paul is writing in that text, he has just been stoned to the point of death. But he didn't let that tough situation overcome him. He got up and he went into the next town. And as they began winning people to the Lord, as they began baptizing people, as they began adding to the church, the Apostle Paul wanted him to know, hey, let me tell you, you're going to have to continue on in the faith. Because you're going to go not through tribulation, but you are going to have to go through much tribulation in your life. Is it any wonder? In Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 28, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he gathers them around and he says this, if you're going to build a tower, you better sit down and see what it's going to cost you, because it's going to cost something to build a tower. You know, Joseph had to go through some trials. Joseph had to go through some difficulties in his life. You read the book of Ruth and look at all the things that Ruth went through. She went through a famine and had to move her own family down to Moab. And when she got down to Moab, her husband and her two sons died. Then she went back to Bethlehem. It was tough for a while. You look at the Apostle Paul, I quite frequently try to read 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, because in that passage, the Apostle Paul lists all of the things that he is going to go through, or he has gone through. He says, man, I was stoned. I was whipped. I was beat. I was shipwrecked. I was kicked out of cities. He just goes right on and on and on. And before long, you begin to feel sorry for the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul understood, hey, if I'm going to serve the Lord, if I'm going to live in this life, then I am going to have to go through some tribulations, and I'm going to have to go through some tough stuff and life. But when you read John 16, the first part of that says, you know what? Hey, in this world we shall suffer tribulations. And if that was just all of it, it would be a very discouraging verse. But at the end of it, it is very encouraging, because he says this, hey, I have overcome the world. Hey, we might go through the difficult days. We might go through the hard days. We might go through some very tough stuff. But I want you to know, Jesus says that we can be encouraged and we can have joy because he has overcome this world. Is there a verse in the Old Testament that kind of parallels that verse in the New Testament? I think so. I think it's this verse in Genesis 49 and verse number 19. Because here is what he tells Gad. He says, you know what, Gad? You're going to be overcome. But ye shall overcome in the end. Hey, Gad, there's going to be some difficult days ahead. Hey, Gad, there's going to be some defeats that's coming your way. Hey, Gad, there's going to be some trouble that's going to come your way. But I want you to know that when you get to the end of it, that you are going to win and that you are going to overcome. I believe it's a parallel verse. In this world ye shall have tribulations, but I've overcome the world. Ye, a troop, shall overcome him. But he shall overcome at the last. If all of us would be honest tonight, there's not a one of us that couldn't say, I've been through some tough stuff in my life. I've been through some difficult things in my life. But I want to pull from the tribe of Gad tonight three things that if we could just get in our minds and get in our hearts, that I think that every time we go through some tough stuff, it'll help us to come out on the other end ahead. The first one is that we just need to understand that life is not fair. How many of you know that life's not fair? All of us know life's sometimes not fair. But I want you to notice what God or what Jacob tells Gad. He says, Gad, a troop. I want you to stop right there. I don't know necessarily how many is in a troop, but it's more than one. Matter of fact, if you look up the definition, it says a multitude of people. Jacob tells Gad right up front, hey, there's going to be a whole group of people that you are going to come against or that is going to come against you. And notice what he says, when you come against this troop, you are going to lose. You are going to be defeated. That doesn't seem fair, does it? It doesn't seem fair when the odds are stacked against us. It doesn't seem fair when things are stronger than we are. But we all know, boy, sometimes things happen in life that's just not fair. I think about Abel. Way early on in the book of Genesis, Abel did what was right. Abel wasn't a bad guy. He wasn't a wicked guy. He was trying to follow the Lord. He was trying to do right. And the Lord said, you know what? I want you to bring a sacrifice. And what Abel does, he figures out exactly what God wanted. And so that is what he brings to God. Then he dies for it. You can't tell me that that's fair. Life's not fair. I look at Joseph, as I said a while ago. He was a good son. He tried to serve the Lord. He tried to stand for the Lord. But yet his family turned on him. His brothers tried to kill him. He went to prison. It just seemed like one thing after another thing after another thing after another thing. I am sure quite often that Joseph, when he was all alone and he was all by himself, that he cried out to God and saying, God, life is just not fair. What about Job? We're introduced to Job in Job chapter 1 and verse number 1 and 2, where the Bible says that he was a righteous man, that he stayed away from evil. Job was a good man. He tried to live his life for the Lord. He tried to do what was right, and then all of a sudden, he lost everything that he had. You're going to tell me that that's fair? It's not fair. You know what? Life is not fair, and sometimes when we go through some trials and sometimes when we go through some difficulties, it may not be for any other reason that it's just a part of life. And life is not always fair. But you know what? I'm glad life's not fair. I'm glad life's not fair. I know some of you are looking at me. I can see you looking at me and you're thinking, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But you know what? Life is not all fair and I'm happy about it. You know why? Because I haven't gotten life what I really deserve. You know what? You haven't gotten life what you really deserve. Here's a passage that I look at quite often, but I want you to go to Ephesians chapter number 2, please. Ephesians chapter number 2. Oh, it's another wonderful passage in the Bible. But it paints a picture of our life. In verse number 1, if you're not there, continue turning there because we're going to read several verses. The Bible says, and you, he, talking about Christ and God, hath quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we have had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Boy, he's painting a pretty negative picture of you and I, isn't he? We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were walking according to the prince of this air. We were doing all kinds of things that wasn't right. We were listening to the lust of the flesh. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath. You know what we deserve? You know what I deserved? Because of that, I deserve to be eternally separated from God. That's what the Bible teaches me. It's not my opinion. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Over and over, the Bible says, you know what? God is holy, and He cannot look upon sin. He cannot look upon evil. And before I was saved, if I was filled with those things, I was separated. I deserve to be separated from God. But you know what you deserve? You deserve to be separated from God. Oh, Brother David, I'm a good guy. That has nothing to do with it. It's not talking about how good you are. By nature, you're filled with sin. But here comes the unfair part. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. And it's just like a fresh rain after it has been dry for months and months and months. When you read these two words, but God. Man, doesn't that just make you want to relax a little bit? Man, doesn't that make you just want to kind of get excited? But God, who is rich in mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is something that you don't deserve. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen to me, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve to get to live for all of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I am so grateful that life is unfair, and I get what I don't deserve. I get what is not fair. It wasn't fair for Jesus to go to the cross and on the cross pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. I am so glad that life is not always fair. Notice verse number 7, that in the ages to come, that's in the future, that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Oh, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. Here it is. It is the what? Gift of God. You know what happens to me sometimes? When I perceive that life has been unfair to me, that's all I can focus on. You know what would really help me when I'm going through tough times? Is to thank God that life's not fair. And pick up this book and begin to read all of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. And focus in on that unfairness instead of what I have experienced. Hey, Gad, there's a lot of guys that's going to come against you. They're going to overcome you. They're going to defeat you. They're going to be a tough time. It's not always going to be fair. Hey, you just need to understand there are some things that's going to happen to you in life. It's just not fair. But I want you to notice the second thing, and we're going to have to move away from this text. I want you to go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, please. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, and here is the thought. That battles teach valuable lessons. Battles or tough times teach some very valuable lessons. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And I just want to read verse number 8. The Bible says, and of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David in the hold of the wilderness. Now notice these descriptions of these Gadites. They were men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the rolls upon the mountains. You're going to later find out when you read the Old Testament about the Gadites that that they were really great warriors. Sorry about that. That when the children of Israel went into the promised land, the tribe that was in the forefront to help fight the battles was the Gadites. Because they were known for their ability to handle the battle. They were known for their ability to fight in the war. They were known for their ability to handle the tough times and the difficult times. Matter of fact, there's another interesting thing that I wasn't going to give you, but let me give it to you right quick. The Gadites chose the very best land of the promised land. The reason is because their land was on the east side of the Jordan, but it was very plush, it was very luscious. But one of the problems was is the Ammonites and the Moabites were on the borders of that. So whoever took that land was always going to be having to settle skirmishes and an invasion by these foreign countries. But because the Gadites had learned how to fight, they got the best of the land. But how did they learn? Go with me back to 1 Chronicles chapter number 5. 1 Chronicles chapter number 5. How did they learn? How did they become great warriors, valiant men, mighty men? The Bible says in verse number 18, the sons of Reuben and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men. Men able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot with bow and skillful in war were 440,703 that went out to war. And they made war with the Hagarites and Jesser and Nephesh and Noab. And they were helped against them. And the Hagarites were delivered into their hand and all that were with them. For they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them, because they put their trust in him. And that's a great verse. Because you know what that verse teaches me? That the way that they became valiant men, the way that they became mighty warriors, is that they had to experience some battles. But in those battles, they learned that they could depend upon God. You see, when everything's going well in my life, I don't pray as much. Man, when everything is going good and the blessings of God are raining down upon my life, I don't read my Bible as much as I should. But boy, you let the tough time comes. And man, I get on my knees. And it's there that I learn how to pray. You let the tough times and the difficult times come. It's the times that I get into my Bible and I start reading because I need to hear from God. You know what it does? It teaches me some very, very valuable lessons. Battles can do that for you. It did it for the Gadites. And then the last one, and I'm almost through. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish. Go back to the text, Genesis chapter number 49. Genesis chapter number 49. The first part of that prophecy is kind of bleak. Hey, Gad, troops shall overcome him. But notice this last part. But he shall overcome at the last. Hey, Gad, as you go through, maybe at the very beginning, there's going to be some difficult times. Oh, but when you get to the end, you're going to be an overcomer. You're going to win. That's what happened to him. They got the very best of the Lord. Another thing that you'll find out about the Gadites is that they got their land before they even entered into the promised land. And because of that, you know what happened? Their children and their wives and all of their possessions wasn't exposed to war. Their children and their wives got to stay behind while the nation of Israel was going in and they was at Jericho, and while they was taking the promised land, God blessed them by allowing their wives and children not having to see all those things. They had their land first. You see, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. One of the things, and I've told you this, and I don't want to bore you with it, but I hope It's your desire. But one of the things that I want to do in my life, I want to finish well. I've had some of those defeats. And I've had some of those hardships. I've had some of those tough times. I've had some of those times when I've been angry at God. I've had some of those times when I've pointed my finger and said, God, I don't understand. Why are you doing this to me? Life is not fair. But you know, one of the things that I want to do is, at the end, I want to finish well. Gad, you're going to get beat up. But I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Let's pray. God, tonight I pray that you'd help these principles to sink into our hearts. And God, all of us are going to go through difficult things and unfair things. But God, I pray that the next time we go through one of those valleys, I pray that you'd help us to think about the promises you've given us in your word. Hey, this is just where God said we would be at times. But that we would turn our eyes upon you because you've promised us victory. And you've promised us that we would overcome. And God, tonight my desire is if there are those that are here tonight that may be going through some dark days in their life, and Lord, no doubt that there might be a crowd this size. There's always difficulties. God, I pray that you'd help us as a church family to come near them. And God, I pray that we would pray for them and lift them up and encourage them. God, I pray that you'd help us to keep our eyes focused on maybe those that are around us. Maybe they might be in our physical family. They might be in our church family. Or they might be somebody that we work with. God, I pray that you'd help us to keep our eyes focused that we can come alongside them and encourage and uplift and strengthen. And let them know that the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome. God, I pray that you would move in our church tonight. I pray that you'd move in our hearts. I pray that you draw men and women to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed? Martha and Linda will play a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you, you come.